we're online. Maybe we're already online, but welcome whenever we get online. Praise God. So Pastor asked me to do the offering message this morning. So I kept asking the Lord, you know, what is it? We have such a giving church. We have an amazing, you all are amazing givers. So I want to encourage you that as you give, you should be expecting increase. Now, I've already heard of two raises already in the past 30 days for people. But the Lord told me, you know, that people should be expecting promotions and raises. Because the Lord always increases. And, you know, when we were here for prayer this week, the Lord gave me that word on increase. And I shared multiple scriptures. So if you weren't here, you missed it. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I'll give you the scriptures later. But God wants to increase you. He never goes backwards. He always goes forward. And he is a God of addition and multiplication. And it's not just for your knowledge. It's not just for, you know, your house to be larger. It's for your finances. But why does he want you to increase? Not just so you can have your needs met. If you are just believing for your needs to met, you're believing too small. Amen. Because God blesses you so you can buy big vehicles and big cars and nah. God blesses you so you can bless others. God wants you to bless others. That's why he created a kingdom family. Even in Acts, it says they sold. Hey. Sorry, didn't mean to call you out. I'm so excited to see you. Sorry, that totally threw me off. I'm so sorry. God wants you to bless other people. And it says in Acts, they sold all that they had so that no one was without. No one was without. No one was in lack. We all have a part to give. And, you know, every time I do the offering, it's hard for me because I want to teach, right? But I will say this. Today I'm talking about just your attitude of giving. But the Lord does ask of you a tithe. A tithe is 10%. And I wanted to teach on it, but the Lord was like, nope, just talk about our act of giving. So that's what I'm going to talk about. So, and we've heard this scripture many times, but I'm going to read it to you out of the New English Translation. Most of you know that I'm a geek when it comes to translations and Greek and all that stuff. So I love this version. The New English Translation is one that was done a few years ago where they went back to the King James, but they pulled it out as the English. It's very, very accurate. So 2 Corinthians 9:6, and this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. Now, this is about an offering that they were taking for another church, and he said, I want you to be prepared. You should prepare in your heart to give. And this isn't just for offerings. This is for your tithe. And I want you to think of both of those things as I'm reading this scripture. It says, my point is this. Excuse me. I'm going to grab a sip of water. I've been shouting a lot this week at prayer and fasting, so my voice is. My point is this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will reap generously. Can you get me a mint or something? That would be great. So I got thinking about it this morning. You know, the Lord wants you to be generous because the Lord is generous. He wants you to reap generously. Thank you. He wants you to reap generously. So I got thinking about this. You know, when you have a heart of giving, have you ever met somebody, and we all have, we won't name names, that just wants to give everything away? And they want whatever they have, they just want to give. But see, that's the heart of God. And a lot of people talk about that as it's a gift of the Spirit, because there is a gift of giving, and I get that. But we're all called to be generous because we're all to be like God, right? His characteristics, and he gave his best, his only son. He didn't say, well, you guys really aren't worth it. He just said, I see a problem, I want to redeem them, and I'm going to give my son, right? So we should be giving generously. And if you're like, well, I don't really have enough, then start giving and you'll have more, because that's how the kingdom of God works. It's opposite to the world's economy. So as you give, you will be blessed because you're trusting God, not yourself, to have the income. You're trusting the Lord. See, when you're like, I don't have enough, you're saying God can't provide. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Do you understand? When you say I don't have enough, you're saying I'm in lack. Now, if you're a tither, you definitely should be saying, no, I'm never in lack because I'm a tither and I know what the Bible says. See? So when you start to get in lack or you start to feel like you're in lack, the first thing people do is go, well, I don't know if I can give my tithe. Well, what about the first thing being that you don't pay your truck payment or your car payment or your or your phone bill. Nobody goes there, right? I'm afraid of the creditors and my credit score. I'm just saying it. I'm gonna kick the religious devils around, because here's the thing. I'm giving to God before I give to anything else. Because I'm going to stand before his throne room someday and answer. Do you understand? What can man do to you? He can't do anything to you. Not only that, if you're a tither and you start to feel like you don't have enough, then you need to go back to the word and say, Lord, this is what your word says. I just listened to a testimony the other day about a guy. They were almost completely out of money. And they were believing. They were tithers. And do you know that $10,000 was wired to their account in the nick of time? Because God is always on time. But he knew. He wasn't giving up. People were like, well, you can do this. He says, no, my God. So that's where we have to be. Because as I sow generously, and listen, generously for some people is different. The woman with the two mites, the Lord talks about her because she gave out of her lack. Everybody else gave out of their overflow. But that two mites meant just as much as the $10,000 seed, right? Because it's about the heart. So your generous giving may be $20. I remember a time in Bible school, and I've shared this multiple times, I decided we had to give above our tithe. And I can't remember if it was $5 or $10, but it was like $500 to us at the point. And all of a sudden, David had to stop working overtime because we had enough money. All these things started happening just by us giving. But it was not that much by most people's standard. But I just said, no, I purposed in my heart, we're going to give an offering. And so that's what we did. It didn't matter the amount because it was a huge amount for us. So each one, in verse 7, each one of you should give. So there you go right there. The Lord is telling you, each one of you should give. You know, we live in a society where somebody else will take care of it. Nobody else can take care of your tithe and offering for you. That's what you have to do. Okay? And you can actually, there it says, or in his mind. You know, during prayer and fasting, we've told a lot of people, make up in your, you pray, you get the word of the Lord for what you're going to do for the fast. Because when your tummy starts talking, you're going to want to change your fast, right? But if you have it written down and you're like, this is what the Lord spoke to me, you won't change in the midst of it, okay? Well, it's the same thing. If you purpose in your heart, you're like, I'm tithing, it doesn't matter what your bank account looks like. You've purposed in your heart, you're going to tithe and you'll tithe. If you've purposed in your heart, I'm giving an offering of $100 every month to some ministry, I'm going to sow into good ground, you'll do it no matter what. Because you've already purposed in your heart. So when your bank account starts looking funky, you're like, nope, I'm still giving because this is what I purposed in my heart. Does that make sense? Right. So it says, each one of you should give just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not because the pastor tells you to. Don't do any of this saying, well, the pastor told me to. No, you say, Lord, I love you and I trust you and I know you're going to provide and I'm going to give. I'm telling you, if you're in a place of lack, the best thing you can do is give, because you're saying, Lord, I trust you and I know you're going to take care of it. Lord, what do you want me to give? So not reluctantly or under compulsion. You don't give because you're like, well, I think they need this. No, you give because you're like, Lord, I love you, and you've told me to give this seed. And trust me, the Lord will drop things in your spirit to give. Because God loves a cheerful giver. So that's why he doesn't want you to do it grudgingly. He doesn't want you to do it out of the law. He wants you to do it out of your heart because you love him. If you're doing it just out of the law, you actually won't even get a return because you're just like, I did my duty. But if you're like, Lord, I love you and I want to give and I'm going to give, then watch and see what he will do. And God is able to make all grace overflow. I love that. First of all, I love the word overflow. God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that what? So that because you have enough, again, no lack. Lack is not biblical. Nobody that God ever made covenant with had lack. They always had abundance. Think about Abraham, my gosh. Think about Solomon, right? So, not that you may have enough of everything, not just enough of one little thing, of everything, in every way at all times, So what does that mean? In famine? Yes. In abundance? Yes. In times where other people are lacking, you are not going to lack. Hallelujah. And in every way at all times, you will overflow in every good work. Just as it is written, he has scattered widely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now God who provides seed to the who? So if you aren't sowing, do you get seed? No. See, that's the whole thing. It's so opposite of the world. The world says, hold on to it for the just in case. But see, my God takes care of me in every situation, so I don't have a just in case. Most of you know, like, I actually do financial counseling as a part-time business, and one of the principles I follow is called an emergency fund. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have emergencies. I just have things that the Lord's going to take care of. So I have an overflow fund. That's my overflow fund because I'm not having any emergencies. When my refrigerator broke, I had money in the overflow fund because God already knew it was going to happen. See what I'm saying? You have to change your thinking. I only have overflow. Say it. I only have overflow. All my needs are met. Amen. So now God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for food. I love that. Anybody ever had like a time where, this has happened to me multiple times, you didn't have anything to eat that night? I don't know, maybe you other ladies love to cook every night. It's not really my favorite thing to prepare. And I didn't have anything prepared. And I was like, Lord, I just need your help. And like 2 hours later, somebody texts me, hey, I made dinner for you tonight. I was like, thank you, Jesus. See, even that can happen for you because he gives bread for you to eat. For food will provide and multiply your supply of seed. Who will multiply and supply your seed? The Lord. Yes, not you. Listen, all these people getting raises and promotions, that's the Lord. Yes, they've been faithful, but the Lord is the one that makes the way for that to happen. And will cause the harvest of your righteousness to grow. You will be enriched in every way. I love that. I could teach on that right there. That you may be generous on every occasion. So when should you not be generous? Never. Because it says on every occasion that you shall be able to be generous. Come on. But you have to see yourself as a generous person. We've all grown up with people that live through the depression and tight times. I won't go into that, but like I have people in my life like that, and they're always like hoarding everything because they're afraid of it coming again. Nowhere in the Bible do I see that. When there was a famine coming, the Lord told the people. The Lord helped them. The Lord had overflow so they had enough. And then he had it so that they could give out to other people in the famine. They were giving to other people in the famine, the children of God were. Are you a child of God? Then you will have more than enough. That was pitiful. Are you a child of God? Yes. Then do you believe that you'll have more than enough and that you'll be able to bless others? Then you'll have no problem giving because you know that the Lord is giving it to you. Amen. So you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous on every occasion, which is producing through us thanksgiving to God. As you give, as it flows in, your thanksgiving to God gets greater. You're like, whoa, Lord, look at what you're doing. Look at what you're doing. I didn't even have to do anything. Amen. So in 1 Timothy, I want to go here first. Mark, because, you know, I'm giving you all these things as you give, but I want you to look at something. No, go to 1 Timothy. I lied. Sorry. I misspoke. I didn't lie. I don't lie. 1 Timothy 6:10. There's a lot of people that get hung up on religious people having money. Oh, how does he have a jet? How can he do that? But have you seen the people that are on jets and they're going to other countries and there's revivals happening? They're not getting there by commercial plane. They're flying all over. I just heard a story about Jesse Duplantis. He can get anywhere from Shreveport, Louisiana on the jet he just bought. So he can be in Africa that day and back. But you can't. If you got to wait for those things, you're not getting there to do the work of God. Then, and look at Kenneth Copeland. He helps and Franklin Graham. They help when all these disasters happen. They use it for the glory of God. Get over it. There's people that are rich that are doing terrible things on planes. Nobody's talking about that. You want the evil people to have it? No, we're the head, not the tail. Come on. We're believing for big things for this church. Why do we want a big building? What do you think we want a big building so we can say, ha, look at us, we have a big building? No, we got plans for this big building all the time. I won't even tell you my plans because they might scare you. But I'm believing for big things for this building to be used for the kingdom of God. And people will see it as a sign of the kingdom of God, that God loves them, and it will be a blessing to many people. Amen? It's not about us. It's about doing the work of God. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money. Now, do you know most people, I actually just saw this on Facebook the other day. It says, for money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for the love of money is a root of all kind of evils. for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and perceive themselves through and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. See, the love of money. What's the love of money? I don't have enough to give. I've got to go buy all of this. I got to have this. I can't give that up, Lord. So let's go to an example. You think, well, that's harsh, Pastor Lacey. Let's go to an example. Mark 10, 20. This is when Jesus met the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler was telling him, he says, good teacher, what shall I have to do that I inherit eternal life? And Jesus was like, why are you even calling me good? Why do you know that I'm good? And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth, which is what Jesus had spoke to him. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus was moved with compassion for the rich young ruler. He saw that the rich young ruler wanted to do right in the sight of God. And this is what he says. He says, he loved him and said, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. Now, I just told you that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So was Jesus against the young ruler having the possessions? No, he wasn't. He was against the possessions having the young ruler. Do you see the difference? There's a difference. But he was sad at this word, talking about the young ruler. He was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, the possessions had him. Money is a tool for you to use. Money is a tool for you to flow through the kingdom, to do the work of God. You know, your tithe helps pay for the things, the necessities at the church, but it's the offering that's going to take us overflow. The offering is, we have outreaches to do. We have things to do. It's about sowing into good ground and expecting a harvest. You know, I think about this all the time. How much did that rich young ruler miss out on? First of all, he missed out on eternal life because he couldn't go sell his possessions. He couldn't give it all over to the Lord. So if there's something holding you back from giving, you have to ask the Lord and surrender it to the Lord. And I'll tell you the quickest way to do that. When you don't feel like, when your bank account says don't give, that's when you give. I know that sounds contrary, but I do it because I just say, Lord, I know that you're going to provide. But this is what you need to know. As you generously give, you will generously reap a harvest. That is what the Lord has for you. Ushers, if you want to get ready to serve the people, there's offering envelopes behind you, or no, in front of you. You can give other ways. You can give online at newfreedom-church.com. You can text give. You can give through Venmo, and you can also give through cash and check. And you can mail a check in as well. The address is on the screen. You can do the little QR code thingy. But I just want to challenge you that God is a, you can serve the people, ushers, thank you. God is a generous giver, and he expects us to be generous as well. And you never have to worry about lack as you give, because it's like having the high yield savings account on, that was going to be the wrong word, really overabundant, a bigger return than you could ever think, amen? Because that's who God is. And it says the same measure which you give, it will be given back to you. But that's talking about your heart as well. Is your heart into giving? So as you sow this seed this morning, say, Lord, I thank you that all my needs are met. Lord, I thank you that I will see a return on this. Lord, I thank you that you're going to continue to give me seed, and I'll continue to sow, and I'll continue to reap a harvest. Amen? I should have asked if you were ready to give, but it looks like you were ready to give. Praise God. It looks like a lot of you had purpose in your heart what you were doing. So, Lord, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that you love a cheerful giver. I thank you, Lord, that you said who sows generously will reap generously. So, Lord, I thank you that as these offerings and tithes are put into your hands, Father God, for your work and your glory, I thank you that you will multiply it and that you give seed to the sower. We're expecting a harvest. We're expecting increase. And we just glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you are expecting increase this year?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Behind you.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen. God is so good. Praise God. I feel to pray for the little ones today before we get started into the message. And then we'll pray for the big ones today. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the little spirits that are back there that are mighty in God. As you pour out your spirit and as your word is taught to those young people, Father, I thank you that their spirit just grabs a hold of that. Lord, I thank you that religion is not a part of their life, but they're free in the spirit. They're free to receive. They're free to dance. They're free to run. And Father, they're free to listen to the word of the Lord. So Father, I thank you that that is being available, made available for their spirits to grab a hold of and be strengthened today through Sunday school and through the teacher. Anoint the Sunday school teacher in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that they are already anointed, but that anointing flows through them, Father, into the ears and the hearts of the young people. And Lord, I just lift up the congregation today. I lift up all those listening online. I thank you that as their ears are open to what the word of the Lord is saying, that that living word is implanted into their spirit, Father God. That incorruptible seed is placed in there, and it will not return void, but it will produce an overflow, an amount of the kingdom of God more than enough for what is at task in their lives, Father. I thank you that you have a plan, a calling, a purpose for each and every person. And it is the word of God and the spirit of God that gives them the power and authority to walk that out, to be victorious and walk in victory all the days of their lives. And let today be no different, Father God. Let today be a day of increase, a day of revelation and understanding, a day of joy where your word comes and flows on the inside of them and out of their innermost being. That's how they live. That's how they walk, and that's how they dwell on the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good, and I know God has great things for his people because he told me as I was coming to church today that he's like, strengthen their inner man. Give them the word that they need. And I pray all the time not to give man's word, not to give my opinion. Sure, I'll share parables. Sure, I'll share things that apply to your life. But I want you to be able to receive directly from God. Amen. Through the preaching, through the teaching, through the word, and by the Spirit. That your inner man, your innermost being is being strengthened and built up. Because when you leave here, you're going to leave here better than when you came. Amen. You'll leave here better than when you came. If you make a decision to say, you know what, God has something for me today, and the pastor has something for me today, and I'm encouraged, and I'm going to receive something today. Amen. You will receive as much as you desire to receive. Amen. You will be able to grab a hold of as much as your hand can handle and as much as you open it. What do I mean by that? You'll be able to receive from God as much as you release your faith to receive. Because God's faithful. Amen. And he wants you to have, but you need to be willing to say, you know what? I know he has something for me today, and I want it. Amen? I want it. You're going to get it. Because I believe there's productivity for you in this year more than you've ever seen before. You're going to do more for God this year. You're going to please God in what he has for you because you're going to hear and you're going to activate what God has for you. And I know it's going to come to pass. I know it's going to happen. And today is no different because as a child of God, we desire to please our Father. Amen. Amen. Just like a child, when you were young, you wanted to please your dad. You wanted to please your mom. You wanted to please your parents. Amen. Amen. Whether you live that way or not, deep down, that's what you wanted to do. You wanted affirmation from your parents. You wanted them to affirm you and love you and be pleased with your life. And it's no different. God placed that on the inside of you to please him. You got to see it on the inside. It's not about the works you do. It's not about, you know, how many times you come to church. You have it in your spirit that you want to please God. Whether you understand how to do it, whether you look at other people, engage how you're doing, that's not how it operates. Jesus didn't look through somebody else to get to you. Jesus came directly to you. And you can go directly to him. You don't have to go through your pastor to go to the Lord. Amen. You need to see this and understand this, that so often people want to see God through somebody else because they're afraid to get into the presence of God themselves. But man, when you get into the presence of God, you're like, get out of my way. I want to receive from God myself. And today, that's what's going to happen. The title of my message today is The Fruit of Being Filled. The Fruit of Being Filled. And I want to share that with you and give examples to you all through Scripture about those that were filled with God's Spirit. They had fruit that followed what they did. Instantly, there was fruit coming out of their life because the Spirit of the Lord was upon them. And it's upon you. So there's fruit that's going to come out of your life in 2024. You may not understand it. You may not see the quantity of it. But the quality is going to be there because it's from the Lord. So you are a producer of the kingdom of God, whether you understand it or not. God made you to produce after Him. He made you to produce after Him. My children are a product of my wife and I. Now, God has a big part to play in there. But there's things the Lord has given us and through us, not just by the physical DNA transfer of our children, but the spiritual transfer that goes through us to our children. Raise a child up. We talked about, we mentioned in the announcements about baby and children dedication. What is that doing? That's saying I have a spiritual DNA that the Lord has in me and a desire in me that I want to pass on to my kids. And I want my kids to receive what the church has for them as a body to impart to my children and help them and help raise them in the things of God. Yeah. And that's what you're doing. You're making a decision spiritually. I'm putting my kids under the anointing of God. I'm putting my children and my family. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And that's what you're making that decision. And you're saying, as the spiritual authority in my home, this is what we're going to do. Whether my neighbor does it or my coworker does it has no bearing on what we're going to do in my house. Amen. Amen. Same thing as a senior pastor. I have to make the decision in the house of God. This is what we're going to do. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have the service. Praise God. Amen. It's not a man's service. It's not a religious service. This is God's time with you. This is your time with God. All right, this isn't about how well I can articulate a sermon. It isn't about how much I've been to Bible school. It's none of that. It's about you meeting God and God meeting you. That's the whole divine purpose of church. It's about you meeting God and then doing what He's telling you to do. And that's all I need to do is provide pasture for you. Provide a place for you to feed on the things of God. And that's what's going to happen. You're going to see. You're going to leave here and be like, I'm full today. Praise God, my spirit man is excited today. I got fed today. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just excited. Here's the two processes. Here's the main two things the Lord has done for you to be able to produce fruit in your life. Number one, accept Him as your Lord and Savior. That is the very foundation of Christianity. You cannot shy away from it. You cannot run from this. You cannot preach another gospel. This is it. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Redeemer of mankind. There's the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So your ability to produce fruit is you must be hooked to the vine. You must know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can want and desire to produce kingdom fruit, but you will not produce kingdom fruit unless you know the King. He has to be the King of your life. He has to be the Lord of your life. And you say, well, there's people in the world that do good things. They can do good things, but they don't know the Lord. It is not accounted unto them from God unless they know God. You must know Him. Amen. So that's number one. You have to accept Him. Now, these aren't points to my sermon. I'm just laying a foundation here, okay? Because what takes place is, you don't understand the gifting and the talents and your spiritual ability that God has placed in you till you know Him. Does that make sense? Your spirit doesn't come alive to the truth of who you really are till you know the one that gave you the spirit, know the one that created you. You cannot operate in something that you don't know the creation of it. Does that make sense? If you... I cannot understand you know, my wife and my children unless I am a part of who they are. Amen. I cannot understand a situation unless I know the very foundation of that situation. Is this registering? Amen. This is interaction. You can shake. It's okay. You can smile. Amen. It's okay. The Lord does not get on you if you don't. If you smile at church, he's happy. Amen. God is pleased with you.
Amen.
Oh, man. Oh. Number one, accept him as Jesus. He made you good. Amen. And he's given you gifts and talents. And what happens is those gifts and talents come alive, and that's really the basis of your fruit production, is your gifts and talents being known. When you know you're mercy motivated, and the Lord touches your life, all of a sudden, you'll be a giver. You'll want to help people out. You'll sacrifice your time for that mercy to be motivated in you and to be released. And you get fulfillment in life when you start producing the gifts and the talents toward other people and towards the church.
Yeah.
But that doesn't start happening automatic.
Right.
Amen. Those gifts and talents don't, you may dabble in it. You may say, well, this hobby makes me feel good. But true fulfillment comes out of the gifts that God has placed in you.
Yeah.
And the only way to find them is to find the one that placed them in you. He unlocks the key to your ability to walk in the gifting and the talents that he gave you. The ability to be a fruit producer. He does it. So you have to receive him. Number two is you have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to start operating in that gift. In that talent. And that is what gives you the power and the vigor and the ability to start the production process. Amen. Many people want, like if I had an idea to produce something and I have an end goal vision of what that looks like, just because I have an end goal and just because I have a thought, that doesn't get me to where I need to go. There's a whole process in between, and that's called your life here on earth. Your life here on earth, serving God, living for God, is the process that produces the end goal result, which is well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what we all desire to hear. But to be faithful and to enter in, you must know him. There's number one. And the ability to produce the fruit and be faithful is the Holy Spirit working in your life. So those are the two points. You must know Jesus, and then you must start operating and allowing his Spirit to start moving in your life. And that causes you to be a witness. It causes you to be faithful. It causes you to do things. Many of you can raise your hand even today and say, you know what, when I found the Lord, whenever it was, from then till now, I'm realizing the more I allow the Holy Spirit to operate in my life, the more production I'm doing.
Amen.
The more joy I have, the more peace I have, the more fulfillment in my life. The more revelation I get, the more I want more revelation.
Yeah.
You know, him who the Son sets free is free indeed. When you get free, you don't want to go back to bondage. You want to get more free.
Right.
And more free. And you say, well, I thought I got free when I got saved. Yes, your sins were forgiven. But there's a freedom when you start knowing more about, when you grow spiritually, you become more, your mind gets free.
Yeah.
Your spirit got free when you got born again. But your mind and your flesh is still corrupt. And there's an operation going on daily, decision making, thought processes, what you entertain, what you perceive. All these things are operating, but when you start allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in that realm, and you give your life, and you give your heart, and your mind starts being renewed to what God has, you start looking at things different. You know, you're able to start looking at your enemies and say, what can I do for you? Because I know where you're at isn't God's best, and I know God has something better for you. So you don't look at that person like, be gone, get behind me, Satan. You don't look at him that way. You look at him, it's like, there is potential. God has something better for you. You don't have to be like this. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to follow after this. And it starts working in you where you want to help other people more than you want to help yourself. But guess what? He gives seed to the sower. So seed to the sower is he's going to give you what you need, and then he's going to overflow out of that to give the other people. You're not going to have lack when you do what God has called you to do. There's not a possible, there is no way that you can do what God's telling you to do and it fail. Because God said it, He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He cannot fail. He hasn't failed in 6,000 years. Today is not the day He's going to start. If your faith is not there, I'm telling you right now, you have a 6,000-year track record of perfect. Of perfect. And he says He does not change. So I'm thinking 6,000 years, pretty darn good track record. Yeah, amen. We can believe a doctor that's been in practice for 15, 20 years, but we struggle with a God that's been in business for 6,000 years plus. And then we're like, oh my God, is God going to do it? We laugh about it, but seriously, we think, man, I can trust so-and-so. I can trust my parents. That's why God, watch this now. That's why God says, come to me like childlike faith. A baby child can go and trust their parents, and they've known them for the life of 6 months. And they believe everything they say, whatever my parents say. Total believing in their parents as a child. But when they get to youth and they start thinking on their own, they think they know better than mommy and daddy. Don't they? Well, as spiritual believers, if we don't keep our spirit man focused on God, we get to a spiritual level in Christ at times, not in Christ, but out of Christ, where we think we know better than God. And then we start operating in our flesh or in religion or some mindset where we don't have the childlike faith anymore. We have my own faith that I think I can get this done with the arm of my flesh. And then we wonder why we're stagnant in God and we spin our tires. It's because the fruit, we start trying to produce our own fruit instead of allowing the Spirit to produce the fruit through us. See what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there's an anointing. There was a presence of God when I shared about a baby child can trust his parents and has only known them for a short amount. Why? Because that's all they know. When you expand your knowledge, you need to make sure your expansion of knowledge is God's knowledge, not man's. Because you can have God, and then you start expanding your intellect in worldly things, then there's a competition. Am I going to believe the worldly things, or am I going to believe the godly things? So when you raise your child up in the ways of God, you're giving them a path of believing God. And that standard sticks with them and stays with them. And then as they grow up, they build upon that foundation that you placed in them. That's why parenting is so powerful. It is a powerful time. And you say, well, I missed the opportunity. I didn't know the Lord when my kids were young. God will make up the difference. Don't look at the past and say, well, I did it all wrong. I missed it. We all missed it. We all fell short of the glory of God. Look where we are now. You're in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Your parents may have not served the Lord. You may be the first one serving the Lord in your family. Guess what? How did that happen? God. So it doesn't matter where you're starting, it's where you end. Amen. Every time. Amen. It's where you end. It's what you're producing now. It's not about what you did produce. I produce a lot of junk in my life. Amen. I produce a lot of bad seed, a lot of dumb stuff, made bad decisions. Amen. But that's all washed away now. Praise God. Amen. The Redeemer came and cleansed me from all that stuff. I don't have to live based off of my past. I live based off of what I know. So the hookup has changed. It was plugged into the world, and I said, nope, we're going to unplug there, and we're going to plug into God. Amen. And I switched my power source. I switched the vine, which I was getting fed from. Amen. And when you switch the power source, see, this is the problem. People get short-circuited because they're plugged into two power sources. Come on. It does not work. Some people have fires. Some people feel like they're smoking in a bad way. Things are all going wrong. It's because they're plugged into the world and the kingdom at the same time. It doesn't work. I share it all the time. You can't stand on the top of a fence. It will not go well. You got to get over the fence. Amen. You can't split the fence. It's a problem. Amen. So people are plugged into both sides. And they want to produce for God, but yet they're plugged into the world. And the world cannot produce. The world produces after its own kind. Amen. The world produces. So here's the thing. Husband and wife, they produce a child. Naturally, God designed it that way. That's wonderful. But the spiritual side, you cannot find the spiritual fruit in the natural realm. You can't. You cannot produce. It produces after its own kind. So if you want spiritual things to happen in your life, you need to be plugged into spiritual things. Amen. If you want to grow spiritually, you got to feed the spirit man. You got to feed your man, spirit man, your heart, the word. You got to feed on the word of God. That's the spiritual food that God has for us. And when you do that, you'll produce spiritual fruit. So what you get filled with is what you're going to produce. You fill yourself with the world, you will start acting like the world. I don't care if your great-grandfather in every generation was a pastor. I talk to people all the time. My dad was a pastor. And they're not even serving the Lord. They're not in church. They're not doing anything. Well, it's like they're hanging on the coattails of their parents. You can't do that. You can't do that. The coat was designed for that person. Jesus gave you your own coat to put on. Amen. And it has many colors, many abilities, and much power. But it's for you. David could not wear other armor. Didn't fit. It would not have worked for him. He could not fling the stone with other armor on. You understand what I'm saying? You can't live vicariously through somebody else. Don't try to be like me. It isn't going to work well for you. Not that I'm bad, I'm just saying, God, you need to get fed from heaven yourself. You need the manna from heaven, and you need to feed on it yourself. And you'll start producing what God has for you, whatever it may be. I've personally done it in the past is, you know, I see people that I would love to be like or minister like or things like that. And then you start trying to be like them to start producing like them. That'll get you down the wrong path quicker than anything else. The enemy will take that and it'll squash your own gift. Just because you can't see the gift in you doesn't mean you try to manufacture another gift. Don't manufacture something else. It won't work. The anointing won't be on it. God made you for a purpose and a plan to do what he has for you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. John 14:16. I'd love to preach, and I need to share more scripture. I'm going to start in 15. It's short. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What is Jesus? This is written in red. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he's saying, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you a helper, one that's just like me. But the world cannot receive it. Why is that? Because it doesn't know him. You got to know Jesus to receive his spirit. That's right. Does that make sense? You got to be plugged in to Jesus to receive the flow of what's being talked about here. And it says here that the helper, that he may abide with you forever. So the helper never leaves. If the helper is not working, it's because you're not allowing the helper to help you. Yeah. You got a helper. Do you know you have a helper? Allow him to help you. He's not leaving. Can you imagine going to work and you got to dig a ditch? And you got 10 people there to help you with shovels, and you're like, I don't need them. I'm going to shovel it myself. That's what your flesh will do. That's what you, when you deny what God has and the gifting that's in you, you're pretty much saying, I see you there, but I'm going to figure it out on my own. I tell you, it gets hard. That ditch becomes a lot deeper and harder to dig by yourself than it does with a lot of help. Allow God to help you in your life. Allow God to help you in your situations. Don't think you're alone. You're not alone. You say, well, I'm struggling. I'm telling you, we go through things, but that doesn't mean the helper's not there with us. He'll help you right through your struggle. He'll lift you right out of your struggle. And guess what? When you rely on him, you'll have less struggles. Yeah. You'll have less opportunity for hardship when you're in the perfect will of God. When you allow God to talk to you in the morning, He'll guide you so your day's better than it would be if you went on your own. There's many times I've done things on my own, did not ask the Lord for help, and then I end up coming around. And I'll just share it. I'll just share it right now. My truck is in my shed at my house with the oil pan dripping because I tried to fix it, and we were putting oil back in the transmission, and it started dripping, and I thought to myself, oh, Lord. And I'm sitting there grumbling and complaining. But I didn't ask the Lord for help before I started because I thought I did it before. I knew what I was doing. Wonderful. We've all done that, right? You know what you're doing. You've done it before. I've done it 100 times. I haven't, but you can say this about things. I've done it many times. No problem here. Well, when my son's filling it and I'm watching it and there's a puddle behind me and it wasn't there before. It's coming right back out as I'm putting it in. And I'm thinking to myself, we have a problem. Yeah? So I'm like, I graciously, in the best of my fleshly ability, put my tools down, rolled out from underneath the truck, and went inside. Amen. And went and did something else. And it's still sitting there right now. But the Lord's going to help me get it straight. Amen. And I'm not saying that to say after church, hey, I'd love to come help you fix your truck. I'm not saying it for that. The Lord's going to do it. But I had to take the time to get the fruit that I want. I need to make sure I'm hooked to the right vine. Even though I think I know what I'm doing. Even though I've done it before. I've preached many times, but I don't go, well, I got it figured out. Yeah. I'm not going to study. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to ask the Lord for help. I don't need you, helper, today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You stay over there. I'm going to take care of this service myself. That would be the dumbest thing. I wouldn't have many more services if I did it that way. So the helper is here. He's the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. See, they cannot understand. The world will never understand spiritual things till it knows Jesus. Jesus is the one that baptizes you, that fills you. You have the Spirit of Christ, but you have to receive Christ first. You can't operate in something you haven't received it first. All right? Moving on. I want you to see some. I'm going to go through a few people in Scripture that when they were filled with the Spirit, there was a direct fruit that came directly with that filling process. When the Spirit of the Lord was upon them, when the Lord filled them, and you say, well, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes, that's part of it. God gives you the Spirit, amen, when you get born again, but there's a filling. And the more filled you are, the more you'll produce from it. Amen. You will go farther with a full tank of gas than you will on a quarter tank of gas. I mean, some of us have figured that out the hard way. Yeah. When you get to the point of no more gas, things start shutting down. All right. So there's a spirit in you that you will not shut down. The Lord will get you to the end. But there is a filling that will get you to be very fruitful before you get to the end of your race. You understand what I'm saying here? You'll get to the end of your race because you're born again. You'll get to heaven because you're born again and you know Jesus. But there's fruit production from now till then that God wants you to produce lots and lots of fruit. He wants you to bring people to Christ. He wants you to share the love of Jesus. He wants you to pray with people. He wants you to lay hands on people. He wants you to have many testimonies of His glory before you go to glory. Hear me. Amen. God wants to use you, each and every one of you. I want you to raise your right hand. That's where your help comes up. Raise your hand. You're saying, I'm going to be used. Amen. Use me here. Here, Lord, I'm right here. Yeah. Wait, there's fruit to come out. You can put your hands down. There's fruit to come out of your life. You are not here just to accept Jesus and then live like however you want to live. You're here to live for God and His fullness and produce much, much fruit. Good fruit for the Lord. And here we go. Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. I made it very easy for you today. These are in chronological order. All right? So once you find Luke 1, you can just turn a couple pages each time and we'll just go right through it. See, I try to think of you when I write my sermons. I think of you to make it as easy as possible. Luke 1. Verse 15. I know, people think I'm ornery. That's all right. Verse 15. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here we have. Here's what's happening here. And I know I'm not even going to get on it because I'm telling you, people get so bent out of shape when you talk about alcohol and you talk about being a believer and whether you should are allowed to drink a glass of wine or not, or if that's a sin. And people get so bent out of shape on that kind of stuff. So I'm not avoiding it, but I'd hit it so hard I wouldn't get to my message. Okay? So I'm going to keep going. So notice that even in John the Baptist's case, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he wasn't filled with anything else. I'll leave it at that. All right. If you can't pick up on that, I need to pray for you. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for any other spirit. When you go, it says wine and spirits. Where do you think that is? That inhibits the ability of the Holy Spirit to operate. All right, so you can make your decision, and you can plug into a spirit of the world and try to plug into God and see how it goes. And I told you I wasn't going to get on it. Say, keep going, Pastor. Keep going. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn. Here it is. So here's the promise of the filling of the Holy Spirit in John the Baptist. This is what he's going to do. There is always fruit from being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Always. And you're going to see different areas, and you're going to have your own area that the Lord is going to produce fruit in your life for the kingdom of God because of the filling on the inside of you. Amen. Your gift is going to come out. And this is what John the Baptist came for a reason. And to fulfill that reason, the filling of the Holy Spirit came upon his life. Amen. Even from his mother's womb, he will turn many children of Israel to the Lord their God. So one aspect or characteristic of being filled is you're going to turn people to the Lord. That is fruit from being filled with the Spirit. You will be able to leave here and you will share the love of Jesus with other people. They may be hurting you. Say, let me pray for you. I'm not saying every time is going to be a conversion. Every time they're going to come to church when you talk to them. I'm not saying. I'm saying you're going to be a light to people. People are going to see Jesus on you because you're filled. Amen. Amen. Your light is going to shine. And they'll see your good works. They'll see that you know the Lord. That is the aspect, even though John the Baptist had like a strong anointing to bring people to the Lord. So it goes on and it says, verse 17, he will also, so there's more that John the Baptist had to do because he was filled. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He had the ability to turn people, amen, to mend situations, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready people prepared for the Lord. Everyone knows it that's a believer knows that John the Baptist's ministry was prepare the way of the Lord. That's his keynote. You know, if he were to preach sermons, it's repentance. Baptism and repentance from sin. Prepare people for the Lord. That is an aspect of being filled with the Spirit. Every church that's filled with the Spirit of God preaches repentance. Amen. And you say, well, what about denominations? Baptists, they got the Spirit of God. They preach repentance. Amen. We're not a church that said, if you're not Pentecostal, you're nobody. No, we're children of God. The church down the street are children of God. Amen. They have the Lord. They have the Spirit too. They have giftings and they have callings on their life. And I'm telling you, there's nobody that can win people to the Lord like Baptists can. I'm telling you, they operate in the gift of John the Baptist. That isn't scriptural. Don't leave here and say every Baptist is John. They don't call their kids John. I'm getting on a bad thing. Move on. Amen. You got to see something here, though. There's a gifting and a calling there, and they're walking in that. Amen. Because they are doing, out of the Spirit and out of the revelation that they have, they're operating in it. That's the greatest thing. I was going to say the coolest thing, but that's the greatest thing is once people understand their gifting and they start operating in it, they see fruit. If God's calling you to hospitality, amen, or ushering or worship team or anything like that, man, when you get in that, you'll be so fulfilled and people will see it all over you. They'll see the fruit that you're producing. So there's John the Baptist. If you want to turn a page or go down a little bit, depending on your Bible, verse 41. Luke 1, verse 41, this is talking about Elizabeth. It says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." So there you have. There's a filling of the Holy Spirit that Elizabeth had. Guess what? There's promises that go along with it. Everybody say promises. Okay, there's promises that go along being filled. When you're filled, there's going to be some fruit that's going to come out of your life. I promise you. Because the Lord can't do it with like everybody in the Bible and not do it with you. There's promises. Amen. So Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, then she spoke out loud. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." There's an aspect of the Holy Spirit that you'll start speaking louder. Yeah. Confidence will come on your life. Yeah. You'll be more excited. You'll sing louder when you worship. Yeah. You'll pray with more fervency when you pray. These are aspects of being filled with the Spirit. Woo! She was excited. Hallelujah. Amen. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you young women, and blessing is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in the womb for joy." Joy. The baby does not know what it's doing in a womb. But apparently, when the Spirit shows up, joy even can come upon the baby in the womb. Amen. Amen. And the baby has no way of saying, "Well, I don't want this Spirit." It did what a fruit of what the Spirit does. As a child is not geared or taught anti-Spirit, they'll automatically do what the Spirit says. Why is it that when we get older, we have problems with the things of the Spirit? The reason is we've gotten other things that we think and thought of in between what the Spirit does. Well, if the Spirit says go on the mission field, why as we as adults say, "Well, I got to count the cost and I got to..." God already counted the cost if He told you to do it. Doesn't He think He... 6,000 years, remember. He's been getting it right for 6,000 years. You think He missed it when He called you to do something? "Oh, go marry this person." "Well, I don't think they're the one." If God tells you that's the one you're supposed to marry, He already knows it's going to work out. And we try to work out all the, analyze everything. "Oh, it's got to be perfect." If the Lord says it, it's perfect. The perfect one said it. Why do you have to question if it came from God? If it comes from God, stop questioning it. Just do it. Abraham didn't go through all the details of what he had to do to leave. He went. Like the next day. When the Lord spoke to me to leave the farm, the next day I went to my family. It's like, "I got to go. I don't understand it and I can't explain it, but this is what the Lord said. And this is what I'm going to do and my family's going to do." Everybody and their brother wanted to tell us otherwise. But everybody and their brother doesn't compare to what God's word says. Amen. So I had to obey. And He brought me right back to my family. And it's wonderful. Amen. Many people that come to our church know my family. Grew up around us. Amen. So it's I don't look at it as, "Oh, I have missed opportunity with my family." It's through the blessing of God, now I have opportunity with my family and be able to minister in my hometown. Yeah. And many people are like, "Jesus couldn't do no mighty work in His hometown." Why? Due to unbelief. So that's why the Lord sent me here, to get rid of your stinking unbelief. Amen. Because He planted me here, so He's got a purpose for me here. Amen. Amen. Some people don't like it, but I don't care. God has a plan for me. Amen. Amen. And there's going to be fruit, because that's His promise. Amen. And I'm not saying that to be necessarily funny. I have it on the inside. God has planted me here. His Spirit is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. Lay hands on the sick. Tonight we're going to have healing service. Come and be healed. Amen. Not me. God's going to heal you. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, there's a boldness that comes on you. We'll share about it. So joy came on the baby. It leapt in her womb. Verse 45, blessed is she who believed. What did she do? Yeah. It didn't say she did all kinds of religious ceremonies. Yeah. All she did was believe. Yeah. She was blessed because she believed. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. If you're wondering, what do I need to do to figure out God? Just believe His Word. Just believe. Say, well, if I come to church for 300 out of the, or 50 out of the 52 weeks, man, I'm going to get the anointing of God. Now, you just believe you're already anointed. You just don't know it yet. See, everything Jesus did is, it's already happened. It's past. His work is finished. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's not coming back to anoint you. You're already anointed. You just don't know it yet. There's some preachers in our congregation. We sent 3 preachers out this year out of this congregation. And I'm not saying everybody's a preacher, because some of you are just here to serve and to be faithful. Amen. And you're doing a phenomenal job. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's things that the Lord has. You just got to believe that they're for you. There's no difference between Pastor Joe and I. You may say, well, I look at you. We're both children of God. And the rest of it's all that we're all on the same level. It's what are we believing? Once we believe in Him and walk in Him, then we'll start seeing what He's called us to do. And it's different for everybody. Just because I'm an apple doesn't mean you're going to be an apple. You may be an orange. Some of you may be a pear. It doesn't matter. You're still the fruit of the Lord. Amen. You're still created in Christ Jesus for good works. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. When the Lord speaks it, all you got to do is believe it. See, you don't even have to go to Bible school to be able to figure out the things of God. I'm telling you right now, people are like, they follow after a man that has dot, 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 dot behind their name. That means nothing in the kingdom of God. Believe. John the Baptist believed. He didn't go to seminary. He went to, this is what the Lord has for me, and this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. He went to, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm going to prepare the way of the Lord. And he had the reverence of the authority of the Lord, even though he was in front of what Jesus did. His ministry was before Jesus' ministry, but he laid it all down for Jesus, even before Jesus came. Mm-hmm. Amen. So what is our job in ministry? It's to lay down our life to prepare the way of the Lord for his soon coming return. Yeah. If you're wondering what your ministry is, it's John the Baptist's ministry. Right. Prepare the way of the Lord in your own heart and then in the heart of others. Yeah. If you're desiring to do ministry, that start right there. Mm-hmm. Prepare your heart for the Lord. Open up your heart for the Lord and watch what he's going to do. I am trying to get through this sermon, but here, this is the way it is. So some of the characteristics in Elizabeth's life being filled, loud voice, she spoke blessing. Amen. He blessed her womb. The baby leapt in her womb with joy. There was a fulfillment. There was vision given to her with God's word confirming it. Philippians 1:6. My all-time favorite scripture is Philippians 1:6. I have a lot of favorites, but it's my favorite. It's my top favorite. I heard a minister when I was at Bible school, when he spoke it and gave his testimony, it just right into my spirit. And it's what I go off of. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. He's begun the good work already. The performing process is in process right now. You have fruit on the inside of you. You just don't, it's budding. You don't know it's really, you don't know the magnitude of it. You don't know the magnitude of your ministry. I don't know the magnitude of my ministry, but I know it's going up. I know it's going to get better. It's going to increase. Revelation is going to increase. This is fruit of being filled. Luke 1:67. We're still in the same chapter. Can you believe there's this much in one? Absolutely. Luke 1:67. See how easy I made it for you? This is Zacharias. It says in 67, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. There you go. Prophesying. Being filled with the Spirit, you will prophesy. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, I thought that was for the prophet only. No. No. Prophecy is releasing the word of the Lord. It's releasing the word of the Lord. And when you're filled with the Spirit and the Lord is speaking to you, you're going to speak the will of the Lord. It's going to come out of your mouth. And you can read down through that. I'm not going to read down through it, but down through 75, it talks about that's the prophecy that the Lord gave him. And it's full of blessing. It's full of provision. It's full of good things. It's full of salvation. It's full of Father Abraham and what he did and what the Lord spoke to him. All these things were uplifting and building. They edified. You are an edifier. What do I mean by that is when you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to speak good things. You don't speak negative things when you're filled with the Spirit. You don't speak negative things. That may be a shock to you. I don't mean that you don't rebuke things and deal with things. What I mean is you don't walk around with your head down all the time about how hard things are, how difficult things are, how poor you are, how broke you are, how miserable life is, how the world's coming to an end, and I don't understand why everything's going the way it is, and our government's just horrible, and that's all you're talking about all day long. That's not a filled with the Spirit person. A filled with the Spirit person is like, my God will supply all of my needs. It's according to His riches and glory. I trust in You. I love You, Lord. I know You love me. I know You have great things for me. I'm the healed of the Lord. I walk in divine healing. I thank You, Lord, that I'm redeemed. My sins are as far as the east is from the west. You start quoting Scripture and you can't stop. God began something good in me. He's performing something good. I'm coming up. I'm rising above. And all you do is talk good. And when somebody talks bad to you, you're like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Don't be moved by your feelings. God loves you too, and He has all that He has for me for you. And I want to pray with you that you receive what I have and much more. Come to church with me. God loves you. Watch what you'll see at our church. Amen. And you just start sharing things. You got to love your church. Amen. You got to be filled with this. People filled with the Spirit talk positive about their pastor. Amen. If you're talking bad about me, it's not the Spirit of God. Oh. Man, that didn't. I thought that would do better than that. Lord, I need to go pray. No, I'm confident in what God's doing in me. I'm not worried about what people are saying about me. See, someone filled in with the Spirit only cares about what God is doing. They don't care about what man's doing. They don't care about what the government's doing. They don't care about what the president pulling military out of here or taking money from here. Oh, we're going to run out of money. We ran out of money. The money's on a computer screen. U.S. is broke as a joke. All the money's being loaned from other countries. We give billions to... We didn't even have billions to give. Are you kidding me? And you're tied up with all the money that's going around. And it's all... Can you imagine? What if everybody went to the bank and withdrew? They don't have the money. You can't even get like $5,000 from your local bank. They don't even keep it there. They give me a week, we'll get it. Why is that? Because they don't got it. So if everybody wanted to pull their money, there's not enough money. $250,000 FDIC, that is a joke. They don't have the money to fulfill that. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm telling you right now. They don't have the money to fulfill what your paperwork says on your computer screen. You got people with $360 billion. That's their net worth. That's what they have. You think you can get that in cash? You can't even get $2,000 from the bank. 5.6, whatever, $560 billion. There's money. Anyway, moving on, Pastor. This is why you need to be filled with the Spirit, so you don't get focused on fleshly things. If God supplies all of your needs, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has billions for you. Amen. If you need a million, He's got a million. Yeah. You just trust Him. He's got what you need. That's filled with the Spirit. That's faith. Yeah. Faith isn't about what you have. Faith is about your belief system. Mm-hmm. Faith isn't about what you see. Is being persuaded that what you have need of, God already has. It's realizing, I don't have heaven on my own, but I want heaven, so I find Jesus. That's the promise. I'm going many different ways. I've gotten through three people that I want to talk about being filled with the Spirit. Luke 4:1, I'm just going to go through these. Luke 4 is talking about the temptation of Jesus. And since I'm preaching, I'll just keep preaching.
See, he was filled with the Spirit, then he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. And most people read that and they're like, I can't believe everything's supposed to be good with God when you get filled with the Spirit. I'm glad Jesus was tempted, because he was tempted in all points, so he understands when we are tempted. He understands what we're going through. And he can see, oh man, they're going through this. I already went through it. They'll overcome too. So when you read that and you think, oh, I can't believe Jesus was filled and then he was tempted by the devil. He was tempted because he's our example that when the enemy comes our way to tempt us, we should be speaking the word. Every time Jesus said, it is written, I shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the filled with the Spirit perspective. That's the fruit of being filled. He was the word. He used the word. Jesus was tempted by the devil, but he was the word. Amen. And it goes on, and you see, if you turn there, and I just want you to, I just realize this. I mean, I read scripture all the time, but revelation comes every time you read. But in verse 13, at the end of his temptation, it says, now when the devil had ended every temptation Jesus understands. Notice that. That word every is all. So Jesus knows when you're tempted by something, he already has a way of escape. He already knows. But it even gets better. It says, he departed from him until an opportune time. That word opportune time started speaking to me. When you're filled with the Spirit, you lessen the times the enemy can tempt you. When you're living in the world, you're living in the realm of temptation. When you're living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you're walking on a different field where temptation, the enemy has to work a whole lot harder. He has to work a whole lot harder to tempt you because you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the Word. And when he knows you're in your Word and you have the authority, he has zero power. That's why as a believer, when you spiritually grow in the things of God, you know the enemy's devices. You know he's a deceiver and he's a liar. So every deception, every lie, every half-truth, every false truth, you chalk it up. That's the enemy. I'm not going to be tempted by that. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. That's not who God is. That is not God's nature for me to leave my wife. That's not God's nature. If we're in a disagreement about something, I already know the foundation of our marriage is the Lord. We just got to figure out what the disagreement is and come to an agreement. But I can't blame her and get mad at her and say, she's of the devil. My golly, she doesn't understand where I'm coming from. She needs to get right. That is of the enemy. Yeah. There's his side, her side. The truth's always in the middle. I'm telling you, you men, you better figure it out. Sooner than later, you're not always right. Amen. I got it. And you women, same thing. You're not always right. And all the men said, mostly. Amen. Mostly. You got to see it for what it is. The fruit of the Spirit is unconditional love. Unconditional love is, no matter what, there is not a condition on our marriage. Yeah. It's just God. That means unconditional is self-sacrificial. I'll put myself under so she can be lifted up. That's unconditional love. So if there's a disagreement, I got to be able to come to that place of saying, being filled with the Spirit. When you come to an argument and you're not filled with the Spirit, that argument goes different. And I'm telling you, if you're in a marriage where you're unequally yoked, you must be filled with the Spirit to deal with the other person that does not know the Lord, because they do not have the Spirit on the inside of them to even comprehend how to operate and how to function. But the Lord will give you the grace to function in that. Amen. And that marriage is blessed by the righteous one that's in it. Amen. All I'm saying is, if you're unequally yoked in your marriage at this present time, God will give you a double portion of blessing to be able to handle it. Amen. Amen. He doesn't want you to pull away from it. He wants you to press into it. Amen. He wants you to press into it. Never be discouraged. God's tempted, and he's been tempted in every way. He knows what you're going through, and he's going to give you what you need to get through it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So when Jesus was tempted, he was filled with the Holy Spirit before the temptation. See, the world doesn't even know they're tempted and they're living in sin. They don't even realize it because their heart has not been turned on to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 2, verse 4. Here we get over into Pentecost. And you'll see something here. You'll see a lot here. This was the start of the church. Acts 2, 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, being filled with, it doesn't say, I spoke in tongues and then I was filled. You were filled and then you spoke in tongues. Tongues is a fruit of being filled. And you say, well, I don't speak in tongues, but I received the baptism. It's in there. It just hasn't come out yet. You understand what I'm saying? The fruit of speaking in tongues. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, when someone lays hands on you and says, in the name of Jesus, be filled. You're filled at that moment. That's just like saying, when I lay hands on someone to receive healing, they're healed at that moment. It may not have manifested yet, but the healing power of God's been released. Amen. Same thing with speaking in tongues. You say, my healing hasn't manifested. It's in there. It's in there. Because God is not a liar. And he says, when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So the recovering process has taken place. You just haven't seen it yet. When you get a cut on your arm, your body instantly goes into recovery mode, healing mode. It starts working. You can't see it. It looks the same yesterday as it did today. But deep down, your body was designed to heal itself. It's working. Give God time to work things out. Amen. Don't be so quick to say, well, I didn't feel anything. God must not be working today. God doesn't fall short. He doesn't fail. He doesn't sleep. He's working. And that's a fruit of His Spirit. His Spirit is working in the lives of people. And I hesitate to get on this, but I can't help but do it because I have to get loud about it like Elizabeth, I feel like. That people are against speaking in tongues. Listen to me. People that say that's the devil's language, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be flat out honest with you. People that are against tongues are directly against the Holy Spirit. Notice it. Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. When you say tongues are not for today, you're saying the Holy Spirit hadn't figured out what he's doing yet. It irritates, it grates my nerves to no end, and I got to stay filled with the Spirit to control myself. Because I know this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and man is saying, I don't believe in that gift. You're pretty much saying, Holy Spirit, no thank you in that area. And I'm telling you, we have the Spirit of God. That hurts. That hurts my spirit. I can't imagine what Jesus feels like. Not that he's moved by feelings, praise God. But my golly, can you imagine you give a gift to somebody? I gave my best gift to my wife, and she's like, nah, that's not your best. But I put my whole life into it? Jesus poured out his whole life to give us a gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're saying, I don't think I need part of that. That's what you're saying. That is what you're saying. And it bothers me because it's like there is so much potential in speaking in tongues and people don't want it. You enter an upper room experience when you pray in tongues. Amen. You enter into, it builds your faith. Yeah. It builds your spirit man up and people are like, well, I don't want that part. And that's why you're struggling. Mm-hmm. That's why a majority of the church in this country is struggling because they're anti-Holy Ghost. There is few churches around here that are Spirit-filled. They say, well, we believe in the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity. But there's zero Spirit. And they do not allow the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit. They don't allow any of that in the service. None of it. Because they want control of the service. And I'm not blaming people. I'm blaming leadership. I'm talking to ministers. Not right here. I'm talking to ministers when I'm saying what I'm saying. Because they're the ones leading the people. Under shepherds that don't want the Holy Spirit. I'll take your portion too. I'm filled with the Spirit, by the way. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness. Amen. I love you. That's why I'm saying it. I have to tell you the truth. Read it. Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. A sign of the Spirit-filled believer is speaking in other tongues. It's a sign. You can hate it all you want. You can try to justify why you're not. You can say this, this, and this. I'm telling you right now, I did that. I analyzed speaking in tongues for like 2 weeks. This is stupid. This doesn't sound right. This is it. And then as soon as I shut my brain off, that's when it started to work. Because it was out of here. It wasn't out of here. And the quicker you can understand God works out of here, not out of here, the more you'll move with the God. You want to walk in the gifts of God? You want to walk in the power of God? Walk out of your belief system on the inside. Don't walk out of your ability on the outside. We all sin and fall short. You weren't good enough to begin with. What makes you good enough now? Walk out of your spirit. Hallelujah. So speaking in tongues is something I truly believe in because it's something I live. And without it, I wouldn't be where I am now. Fact. So speaking in tongues does not fill you. The Holy Spirit fills you. All right? So I'm not preaching that if you're not speaking in tongues, you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. You're wonderfully saved by the blood of Jesus. You are a born-again child of the Most High God. I'm just saying you're limiting your fruit production. You're limiting your fruit production. That's just an experience. Just wanted to share that with you in case you missed it. Acts 4:8. This is really good. So here we have Peter that preached the sermon at Pentecost, but yet less than 60 days ago was denying Jesus. If you know the story, before the rooster crowed three times, when Jesus was at the garden and got taken away and they were started the process, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know who that is. I never walked with him. Denying him less than 60 days. Yeah. He's preaching. And this is how he's preaching. Why? This is why Peter was able to preach the way he preached. This is the difference. There he was in his flesh, yeah, denying Christ. Here he's filled with the Spirit. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders in Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before us, before you whole." Now the story, the backstory to this is Peter and John, they got this man healed. And they preached Jesus. And the legal people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't want him. They don't want him to preach Jesus. So being filled with the Spirit, you will preach Jesus. The one that fills you is what you'll produce after. If you're, I don't know if you know it or put it together yet, but Jesus literally turned around to Peter and said, "You're of your father, the devil." Jesus spoke that to Peter, and now Peter's preaching and standing before high up rulers in society and saying, "We are not going to shut our mouth. We're going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified till you kill us." See the difference of being walking in your own flesh versus being filled? You'll have a boldness on you to go right before the rulers. If you're going through something with building or a building lot or something, go to the board. Go to the commissioners. Don't be afraid to stand and speak what you need to speak. Amen. I lost you. I just lost some of you. I felt it. You need to realize when you're filled with the Spirit, he'll give you the words you need to speak. He may tell you, "Hey, I need to write an opinion in the newspaper about what the Lord did with me and how he handled it." Go talk to somebody. Go pray with somebody. Be bold with your faith. Look what Peter did. He went right to the rulers. He was not afraid of what they were going to say. Yet 60 days ago, he was scared of a girl. Nothing against, there's strong women. I understand that. But she was just, they were standing by the fire warming their hands. And she's like, I think you were with him. He was scared out of his pants because he didn't want to get what Jesus was getting ready to get. So he's like, I don't know who that is. And now he's before rulers that are way higher up in society than the girl that was asking him. And he's like, we're not going to shut our mouth. We're going to preach. That's what being filled with the Spirit does. And you can read through that whole chapter, and I don't have time, but I thought it was very good in verse 21. It says, so when they had further threatened him, threatening him, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorify God for what he had done. I'm telling you, when people come together and the church gets a hold of this thing, they're not going to be concerned about what the government's saying. And I'm telling you, we did our best to take a stand during COVID and not shut down. And we didn't shut down. We were not going to close our mouth and mask up so we can't sing or preach or pray with people. We're going to release the gospel. We're going to release the name of Jesus because it's above what man's going to do. And when the people band together and decide this thing, The world can't stop. I'm telling you right now, this country, if men and women, if society would just say, this is what we're going to do, the government's going to, they'll just obey. They have no power over the people. If the people stand, the government sits. But if the people sit, the government will stand. They'll do whatever they want to do. The World Economic Forum will do whatever it wants to do if people don't do something about it. And everybody says, this society, everything's going to hell. It's terrible. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you like the girl that's sitting there, like Peter with the girl? I don't know anything about it. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Mm-hmm. No, you got to stand. You got to tell people what you believe in. Right. Are you ashamed of the gospel? No. Mm-hmm. It's the power of God unto salvation. Right. It's the power that will deliver us from this evil world. Yes, it's what I believe in. Yes, I'm a churchgoer. Yes, I go to a Spirit-filled church. Yes, I speak in tongues. I'm proud of it. Thank you very much. Amen. I am not shy. I will not be shy before men. They can shut us off Facebook. I don't really care. I'm not going to be shy. I tell you this all the time. I'm on a roll right now. I'm on a roll. They can lock me up. I'll have a prison ministry. It'll be wonderful. It doesn't bother me. I am going to preach Jesus. Jesus saved my life. I owe it to the Lord to do his work. Amen. That's the way I look at it. My life was going to hell, and it got changed. And now I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live my life for heaven. Amen. I'm going to live my life for the one that saved me from this perverse world. Amen. And I'm not going to be shy about it. I can't be shy. You say, well, you're a preacher. You're a preacher too.
Come on. Come on.
You're a preacher too. Every disciple's a preacher. You say, well, you may not have a pulpit or a ministry or something like that, but I guarantee you can find an oak tree out there and tell your friends to come and you can minister to them. You got breath in your lungs. You live in a house that has some chairs. Invite some people over. Invite your neighbor over to dinner and share the love of Jesus with them. This is what the Lord did in my life. You know, I was going through what you were going through. I feel what you feel. I understand it. I had this, this, and this happen. And then the Lord showed up. And then this, this, and this happened. And now that is why I go to church. That is why I read my Bible. Because I was saved. I was delivered. I was set free. That's fruit. See, people look at fruit as being some pulpit ministry or world-renowned ministry that has all this, that has planes and all that. God bless them. That's the fruit. See, what people don't realize is they get mad about people's jets and planes as ministers, but they don't really know what that minister gave. They don't know the backstory. I know some of these ministries. They've given away over 200 cars free to people. They give. They give some of these with these jets. They've given other jets to other ministries. They've fed hundreds of thousands of people. And I read a line in a Smith Wigglesworth book that changed my life. Never look at someone that's doing more than you and judge them.
Come on.
Never look up and say, you're doing this wrong if you're not doing it yourself.
Come on.
Yeah, amen.
So I have to work where I'm at.
That's it.
And I'll work with the people that the Lord gives me. And that's what I need to do. I don't need to be worried about how many jets a minister has. Who cares? If the Lord blessed them with that jet and they got that jet, they must have sowed something to get that jet. to produce the fruit of that, there has to be some seed. Everybody's looking at the outcome and judging the outcome, but what about the sacrifice? What about what these people gave up? Man, I know Jesse Duplantis. I've met the man. I've said hello to him. What a sweet man. He gives people, he gives kids. He'll be at dinner and there'll be a little kid. He'll give that little kid $100 and share Jesus with him. He'll do those types of things. He has it. It just flows out of him. He's a giver. He's a giver. Oh, well, he has a jet. Dude, he's given so much more away than what that jet cost.
Yeah, come on.
There's ministries that their budget per month is over $2.5 million. They're believing God for that because they're feeding people. They're building Bible schools. They're pouring their lives out. And yet the world judges them. And the church gets on with the world and says, oh, I know. Isn't that horrible? They're giving their lives to the Lord. And we're so much in our flesh that we're judging them for that, looking at that. But all that they did ahead of time. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Acts 4:29. I already talked about that. Acts 9:17. Let's finish up. Where'd that come from? That came out of nowhere. Acts 9:17. Oh, shoot, Jesus, I'm having a lot of fun up here. So here's Paul. This is the road to Damascus. He meets the Lord, and then he's blinded. Watch this. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice here, I thought Saul already had an interaction with the Lord at the road to Damascus, didn't he? Here I talked to the Lord, and the Lord gave him direction, and this is what he's doing. But yet, notice here it says, Ananias came to give him sight and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he already interacted with the Lord, got saved on the road. Now he came into town, and now he's getting filled. Watch this. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales. When the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes, healing is in the air. Man, when the anointing of God comes, when you walk in the Spirit, there's healing in your body. I'm telling you, there's healing in the air when the Spirit of the Lord is there. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. So don't be so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. Don't stop eating. I know we're doing a prayer and fast. But food is part of God's design for your body, okay? So even Paul, having been filled, doing this ministry, getting into the things of God, he still had to eat something, okay? So don't be so far out there that you don't realize there's natural things you need to do. So when he received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So preaching, proclaiming the gospel will come upon you when you get filled with the Spirit. Notice this, that he spent some days with the disciples. That's a pretty quick turnaround time from being against the church to interacting with God, being filled with the Spirit, spending about a week with some disciples, and then you're going in the synagogues preaching. God does a quick work when you're filled with the Spirit. There's people that have been in church for 50 years, and there'll be some 20-year-old get filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and all of a sudden be starting ministry, and the 50-year-old's like, wow, how did that happen so quick? I've been at this for a long time. And then jealousy sets in, like, why didn't that happen for me? You got to yield. That 20-year-old yielded, and off they went. Off they went to the races. And God, and I'm not saying that in any judgment. I want to encourage you, if you're 50, 60, been in the church for 40 years, your whole life, whatever, today's a great day. Get filled and go. Be like Paul. He was helping stone. He was dragging people out of their houses that believed on Jesus. But yet now he's preaching. And you know what most of the disciples did? They're like, oh, I don't want to be around him. He's the one that persecuted the church. I might be next.
Yeah.
But the Lord did a great work in his life, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the Lord's going to do a great work in your life. I got so many more sermons, but I know it's time. It's time. I feel it. It's time. Now is the time to bring it all together. If you can bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for those listening online. This is just a drop in the bucket of what God has for His church. But it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost, above everything else, is understand that sin can have a grip on your life. The enemy can have control of your life. But when you give your life to the Lord, the enemy has no power anymore. And you can make that decision this morning. You can say, "Dear Lord Jesus," it's not, people call it the prayer of salvation. I like to call it a declaration. You're just declaring the Lord is your Savior and your Lord. You're just saying, "Be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and you rose again. I believe that, Lord. And now I am the redeemed of the Lord. My sin has been forgiven. I am a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today." If you're listening online and you said that for the first time and you meant it. You meant it. I want you to email the church. I want you to email the church. Let us know. God has great things for you, and we want to encourage you. We'll send you a gift. But the best gift is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's started a good work in you. Today is your day. When you accept Jesus, the good work begins. The good work begins. But there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Just like I read about. Those that were filled with the Spirit, they started doing something for God. Things started shifting. Authority and power came into their life. Peter started preaching. Paul started ministering. Even babies got excited. You may be going through a lot in your life. Maybe the hardest days that you've been through. The past year may have been the hardest year you've ever been through. I'm telling you, God's turning it around right now. God's turning it around right now. There may have been a spirit that was trying to attack you. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. And allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart. Allow Him to fill your heart. Change your life forever. And start producing a kingdom fruit. When the world is your standard and all you live by, that's the best you can produce is a worldly thing. That's all you have to live for is this world. Because that's all you know. But today it's different. You've entered into a new realm, a new world, a new kingdom called the kingdom of God. I want to welcome you into that kingdom. And I'm going to believe with you that you're going to start producing the fruit that that kingdom offers. God's going to send you into places you've never been before. He's going to have you deal with things you never thought you'd have to deal with. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that you're going to be in a place to handle it. You're going to be in a place to rectify, heal your marriage. You're going to be in a place to handle family members that nobody else wanted to handle. Oh, Jesus. The filling of the Holy Spirit and power will change your life from this day forward. From this day forward, you'll never be the same again. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, each and every person that's under the sound of my voice, fill them with your Holy Spirit right now. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Give them a passion for the lost. Give them a passion for the things of God, a desire for the things of God. Hallelujah. Pull them out of the places of darkness and wickedness and set them high on a hill. You may have been tempted over this past week. Just like Jesus was tempted to do things you shouldn't do, to go places you shouldn't go. I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of the Lord is going to divert those areas. Those doors will no longer open. But heaven will open to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, yes. There's a praying in the Spirit. There's a speaking in tongues that comes with the infilling. If you would like that, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Because the Bible says Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will immerse you in the Spirit of God. I want to give you that opportunity. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. That's the invitation. To walk in the realms of the Spirit. You say, oh man, all this seems too good to be true. I've never heard this before. He seems different. Yes, it is different. A lot of people in our area don't believe in this, but that doesn't make it true. A lot of people in society don't believe in God, but that doesn't mean God isn't true. The Sadducees and Pharisees, the wooden seas and the couldn seas, they didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. Neither did the centurion. After he died on the cross, he realized that it was the Son of God. Don't let it be too late that you don't know that Jesus is real and he died for you. Don't let it be too late. Don't live another day not filled with the Spirit. It's a wonderful place. Galatians 5:22, I never even got to it today, but I'll end with it. The fruit of the Spirit. I mentioned it. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness. Against such there is no law. Everybody desires those fruits, but they don't have the right root to produce it. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You're filling yourself with the one that actually produces that. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, those listening online. We love you. Reach out to us if you need prayer, if you need something. We'll pray with you. We'll believe God with you. We love you. God has great things for you. This is your year to increase and step into new realms of the Spirit. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tonight.